The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States
heavyweight. Look here,
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, he's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? This guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
competitors. About hypnosis. Let's get told.
Psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, none other than Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. How's it going, Mo?
It's going well. Just want to say happy Raw Van Dam and Matt Riddle Day. if you're partaking to those activities, you know, roll up your fatty, like something's whatever the golf officer to say, roll up your fatty for this pimp daddy or some shit like that.
Yep, that's exactly what he used to say.
But it's Tuesday. We're here to talk some wrestling. I might be a little bit distracted because I'm watching Versus right now. So,
RVD 420 means I just smoked your ass. People were ever wondering what that stood for back in the day. But yes, this is the 420 edition of the Rawcast. So we're definitely here to big ups all of the guys and professional in the WWE who paid that $2,500 fine for getting caught with weed in their system. And they were just like, oh, I'll just pay the fine. MVP said that he was like, y'all can just go ahead and take like $25,000 out and we'll just settle it up at the end of the year.
Didn't Randy Orton when he partaking in the herbal essence as well too?
Everybody was talking about that, but I don't remember Randy ever getting popped for weed. But you know, I wasn't following Randy all that closely in the beginning like that when he was young and acting up. But
right,
yeah, apparently so. So yeah, because a lot of people were talking about him and Riddle after their match. They was going to be hanging out today.
Oh man,
yes,
that's crazy.
This is the Rawcast. We're part of the WrestleCast Network. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio. All you have to do is search for the WrestleCast dash the CSPN. Hit the subscribe button on the logo with the new day holding the WrestleCast sign. So as we start every Rawcast, it is time for the Mo Meltzer news segment for this week.
So after everybody was coming off their WrestleMania high, WWE said, hey, we got some pink slips to hand out. So, you know, it was a bunch of folks, got let go. You had your Tuckers, your Kalistos, your Bo Dallases, you had your Mickey James, you had Chelsea Green, Wesley Blake.
Did you hear?
Very much forgot.
Did you hear the rumor of what they were gonna do with Chelsea Green, Vanessa Bourne, and Santana Garrett?
Yeah.
That would have been dope. Why did Naya not do that?
I don't know. And the whole thing was when Vanessa Bourne had won her, I guess when she won the match against the Survivor Series, her name was going to be changed to Victorious. But she had to go to the hospital because she had a broken wrist.
Yeah, Chelsea Green? Yeah, I know, man.
Yeah, Chelsea Green, yeah, she was going to have a new name change and everything.
Yeah, man. She Yeah, she wrestled Charlotte Flair, and I guess Charlotte Flair was like, she got it. And they was like, okay, no more NXT for you. Come on up. And then in that last match, she broke her wrist, and she never got a chance to do anything.
I think I was listening to another podcast, and they were saying that I think she basically was like, she found Paul Heyman's email, and she basically, you know, was being persistent and trying to get up there. And so he got her up there. And then next thing you know, she had an opportunity, but broke her wrist. Mm-hmm. And they said she signed an extension. So I'm thinking like, okay, you're going to work with her, you know, give her a chance and everything, but not happening. So your girl, Peyton Royce. Billie Kay.
Yeah, pull one out for the Iconics.
Right. Like, what was it? I don't. And then the fact that Kevin Dunn said that he didn't get her and she had the ceiling. I'm like, dude.
Billie Kay, you mean?
She had a fucking resume and that was over. What more do you want? The woman was funny. Comedic timing, very much comedic. You know, touch comedic chops to the show that she was on. And it's like the backstage. It was like they had the backstage interview that she cut with. I think it was. Oh, I forgot who it was. They had a backstage and she said that was all improv. Like that when you pulled that happen. Mm-hmm. She had to keep turning away. Interviewer had to keep turning away because she didn't want to start laughing because Billie Kay was like, did you go to journalism for that? That line is just so hilarious. And I'm just like trying to figure out how.
But see, that's the thing, dude. The stuff that the wrestlers do like that on their own, they don't care about that. That means zero to them. Where it means everything to us, because that's what we would like to see more of, the wrestlers being a chance to do themselves, is can they handle what the WWE wants them, what they put in front of them? That's the reason why everybody's like, well, why does Alexa Bliss always get these chances? Because Alexa Bliss can handle the verbiage. Why does Charlotte Flair always get these chances? Because Charlotte Flair can handle the verbiage. If you can talk the WWE talk, you can get all the chances in the world, because that's what they're looking for more than, oh, can you be spontaneous and do funny things on YouTube? We don't care about that. Can you get in here and cut these promos and not mess up? That's why Baron Corbin gets so much run, because he can get in there and cut those promos and not mess up. Simple as that. And they reward those people over the people who may be more talented in the ring, over people who may be more spontaneous when it comes to, you know, things that don't make TV but are YouTube content or their own content. You know, that's they don't value any of that.
That's just not cool at all. It's just like, why don't you value that they can actually get over on them for themselves?
Because they have, like Peyton Royce said, people's talents aren't necessarily viewed in the scope of what we see. It's viewed in the scope of one or two people. So we may have mad love for Peyton Royce and Billie Kay and Bo Dallas and Chelsea Green, and we see that they have potential, that they may not have had the most opportunity to show their potential, but we see it. Whereas, you know, they are responsible for and see so many people that if you don't really stand out, you're just another person in the cog. So, you know, next. And that's like what we're going to talk about with Monday Night Raw. That's the reason why, more than ever, they should go back to the old format of jobbers and build these people up to make them stars. Because I don't care about anybody on Monday Night Raw right now. Not a soul. like investing to be like, oh, let me make sure I turn in to Monday Night Raw to see such and such. I ain't got it. Where every week I'm like, ooh, let me make sure I turn this SmackDown because I got to see Bianca. I got to see Sasha. Got to see Roman. Got to see Cesaro. Got to see Seth Rollins. Like, they got me over on SmackDown with at least four or five people I'm tuning in to be like, oh, I hope they on the show. Let me see what they doing. Raw, it's like, I just sit down and my number one thing is, like I put out on Twitter, I hope this shit is decent. Not even good. Just decent. Because it's been terrible for the past 2 months, man. I mean, even the lead into WrestleMania was terrible. Even those shows coming down the home stretch towards WrestleMania, which should have been some of their best efforts, had nothing. Had nothing. I just don't, just not feeling what they're producing on Monday Night Raw right now. I mean, I hate to be that sourpuss type dude. I usually try to come in and have like a very optimistic,
you're positive about it, but you just can't.
Yeah, but you just can't. I mean, at some point you just gotta be like, yo, this is not good. Even though like they had good ratings, like people tuned in to watch Asuka and Charlotte in the main event, but you know, the rest of the stuff is just like, ooh, okay. But we'll start complaining and we'll talk about what happened as Drew McIntyre got things going. Wait, oh, you still wait. Got Mo? You still got more Mo Meltzer news?
Wait, hold up. I didn't even finish the first one.
Oh, damn. My bad. Mo Meltzer. I didn't mean to cut it short. Mo,
no. It wasn't even a short. This ain't even a short week. We got some stuff to talk about.
Okay.
Samoa Joe.
Yes.
Now, this is what really annoys me about, I mean, I understand he had concussions and things like that, but he was suspended, then he had a concussion in the commercial or something like that.
He got hurt, so he got the concussion, then he got suspended.
Okay. And it was just like, they wouldn't clear him, so he still wanted to compete.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, I guess he just let him go rather than just keep him there on commentary. I mean, I was enjoying his commentary. He stood in the ring of WrestleMania in a poncho and, you know, called matches with Michael Cole. You can't get no better than that. And he was just great in his and just what he did for the getting us into the matches and everything, even though the show was like horrible at times, he made it very watchable because he was on there. Now, Tom Phillips, he's going to be doing stuff for the network. I guess he's going to be doing like specials on the network and things like that. I don't like this new guy.
He don't
have no fucking personality. He's fucking bland. He don't know the moves. I mean, Michael Cole don't know the moves either, but
Vince McMahon never knew the moves either, dude. So, you know, that's par for the course. But,
right.
But he's too sports-y. See, there's a
calling the match. He just real bland with it. I was like, damn, Tom Phillips at least brought some energy to what he was doing. Yeah. He put feeling into the lead announce role. You don't put nobody new on there and just be like, oh, here we go, Monday Night Raw. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, come on now. Well, he called the Viking experience Express twice.
He's still new.
He makes Mike Adamly sound like Gorilla Monsoon on the mic. I said that in the Rawcast tweets yesterday. Come on now.
Everybody can't be Mauro Ranallo, man. They can't just step in there and just
And speaking of which, he's calling it a main event on Impact next week, next Sunday.
Yeah, I heard.
He's calling the Kenny Omega Rich Swan match. Guess what? I'm gonna be Sunday night watching that match, watching that pay per view.
Hopefully, Rich Swan has a good showing in that match. They don't totally squash him.
Right. Okay, let me run through this real quick because you want to get through this show and everything. I'm like, goodness grief.
Well, I didn't know the Momentum segment was good. We didn't talk about MP production that you had, like, you know, a deep one this week.
What I mean, listen, we just go with it, and you always be like, "Are you done?" I'm like, "Yeah, we good."
I just jumped the gun this week because I'm disgusted with this effort from Monday Night Raw. Sorry.
I know. Let me get these out, and then we can get show how disgusted you are. Kenny, if you remember Kenny Dykstra or Kenny from the Spirit Squad,
he retired. Okay, good for him.
He said he got some investments, and his family is set, so he's good. So he's retirement from the squared circle.
Got that? That Spirit money check still coming through.
That wasn't attitude error.
That was ruthless aggression, right? Well, whatever that was,
you know, they had to keep out there. Dolph Ziggler was in that group too.
He was Joey Fats and
So he was all in that group. So they good there. So speaking of Raw, I'll save this for the Raw segment. Didi Jone has two new tenants.
Oh yeah, she sure does.
Slapjack and Reckoning.
Yeah.
AKA they're moving to SmackDown.
Yeah, hopefully they'll get rid of A-Mask this week too. Well, I mean, they took hers off though.
That was hilarious. That was hilarious what happened, how that happened. I think that was a theme of the night, upsets, but we'll talk about that.
I thought it was an accident at first, and then after it, I was like, oh, that was pretty smart.
He took it off and he smacked them. They cut a promo after Raw.
Yep, you might hear it later.
Oh, you gave, you know. Well, D-Lo Madden did. Okay, he had some intensity. He was better than his commentary. I'll say that.
Plus, man, that Charlotte Flair promo was like 6 minutes long. I didn't feel like
you can do a half. Remember back in the day, you used to do a halftime promo. You used to do a half. Old listeners of WrestleCast, y'all remember the halftime promo? We used to talk about all the shows.
We in a different life.
We were here for like two, almost 3 hours talking.
Yeah, hour and a half was a quick show. Yes, I don't know.
Right. So we had an hour and a half show. We really had nothing to talk about, but we was talking.
Yeah, as I look back at those old shows, I was like, man, that was insanity
Listen, we really was trying to get everything in. Look, Sam would disappear off on the NXT portion and come back.
We wore him down, and now guess who is a regular watcher of the NXTs now?
I see. Mm-hmm. Gerald Briscoe, he had successful surgery, knee replacement surgery. So, good shout outs to him and everything. Yeah. So Pat McAfee said that he thinks he's dunk on SmackDown. So Vince McMahon, I guess the thing is they're gonna let him be himself. So they're not going to try to produce him as much.
Well, I know everybody else who's ever sat in that chair is like, well, what the makes him so special?
Right. I know Mick Foley probably was like, how the hell this guy don't get produced? Because Mick Foley was like, he really hated Vince McMahon in his
Right. I know one thing. They don't need to give that man no chair. I mean, he stood up at the commentary desk like half the night anyway.
Well, at least we showed he was enthusiastic about it.
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, I thought it was fun.
I think it was WrestleMania 2 years ago. He was threatening to leave because Michael Cole made an issue about him wearing shorts mm-hmm. on the on the pre-show.
Right, right. Yeah, he had the suit on with the shorts.
Yeah. Yeah. And Michael Cole was, because, you know, Michael Cole is like the boss of the announcers. So right. he's that guy. I mean, Vince is the announcers, he's that guy, you know. And that's what Michael Cole had asked him when they found out he was getting the I think he did Pat's show. He said, "Are you gonna wear shorts? Are you gonna wear shorts on Friday nights?" You know. So, Dawn, you probably have something for your dark match, or I don't know how you will play this, but you have a new show coming to TV.
Okay, what we got?
MLW. They made an announcement last night. They're going to be on Vice TV.
That's good for MLW, man. That's good for Court Bauer, man. They've been grinding for the last like 3 or 4 years underneath the radar and kind of being like a feeder system. That's where MJF came from. What's the dude that's running around with Chomper? Timothy Thatcher. He was in MLW for a hot minute. They've had a lot of really good people come through and go on to other places. So now it'd be a good chance for them to get a chance where people can see what they're actually offering, not just on the internet here and there.
So they said what they're going to do is they're going to be the lead-in for Dark Side of the Ring. And they said, they're gonna have some old shows, and they said they hope to be taping in front of a live crowd in July. So
that's what's up, so man. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to squeeze in one more show, but you know,
put down a dog match. Give it. I can talk about it on the dog match.
No, it's not about talking about it. It's about me actually watching the content. I'm kind of.
No, it's 24 hours in a day. You mean tell me you can't squeeze out an hour or something just to watch MLW?
Not with this podcasting schedule we're keeping with these matches and all this, you know, every night. The only day that looks like it would be open would be if I could catch a replay of it on a Thursday, because Thursday looks to be the open date now, where there is no.
I always think you have to actually do a dedicated show to it. We could just talk about it like how we do.
Yeah, but I have to at least watch it though. I don't like talking about things I don't see.
You don't watch Impact on Thursdays?
Hell no. That's why I don't talk about it.
Oh yeah, so Peyton and Billy Kay, they went back to their government
names, right? Yeah,
they dropped them WWE names quick.
Man, Peyton was looking good in her little makeup when, what's her name, Cassie Ray or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. So what do you think? She going to AEW?
I don't want them to get lost in that shuffle. I really don't, because they it's like they had a tough time in WWE with the women getting shine there, and they would probably just be used for either Dark Elevation or Dark. So no, I don't want to see them get lost in the shuffle.
Chelsea Green already signed with TNA.
You can't make it official yet, but
you know, she goes out with Zack Ryder, and he was already talking about how she already got theme music, and he can't wait for the 90 days to be up so she can debut or whatever.
Yeah, because she's going back to her old gimmick.
Mm-hmm. The hot mess.
They teasing that Samoa Joe might come back too, you know.
Man, TNA about to be the... TNA about to be the one who benefits when we all thought it was going to be Tony Khan. But Tony Khan don't look like he want to be really putting out his money like that for these
people. Right. But they showed that promo from SmackDown where Samoa Joe came down and cut on everybody. And I'm like, we don't get this no more. We don't get to promote this energy like in the promo. He came down and cut on everybody in the ring. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then meet AJ, how's our girl Wendy doing? And that just set off the fight right there.
Oh, Wendy. Yeah. Yeah. He never quite gave me enough of the Dominic intimidation stuff. I was really wanting to see him lay hands on Dominic, but you know.
Everybody wanted to see that. Everybody wanted to see him lay hands on Dominic.
Can't have everything.
We can't. All right. So I'm done officially with Mo Meltzer segment, so we can get into this shit show called Monday Night Raw.
Well, I appreciate you, Mo Meltzer, because that was far more entertaining and enlightening than what we got from Monday Night Raw. Drew McIntyre is here to get us going. Get a recap of him winning the triple threat match last week to become the number one contender to the WWE champion, Bobby Lashley. After the win, he was attacked by Mace and T-Bar with MVP looking on. McIntyre doesn't believe that Mace and T-Bar are the masterminds here. That would be MVP, which has McIntyre wondering if Mace and T-Bar are going to start wearing those nice suits. MVP comes out. He implies he didn't know anything about that, causing Drew to mock him for suggesting he didn't know anything about it. MVP says Lashley is expecting McIntyre to be a worthy challenger at WrestleMania Backlash. MVP says Lashley recently decided to downsize the Hurt Business, so why would he need those two after he already beat McIntyre at WrestleMania? Then Mace, he says that Mace and T-Bar have zero affiliation with the Hurt Business. McIntyre doesn't seem to buy it. And then here come Mace and T-Bar to jump him again. They hit him with a double sit-out choke slam, and then the two get out of the ring and they walk past MVP, who doesn't flinch or acknowledge them one bit. Your thoughts on the opening segment, sir?
Oh, my fault. They were doing 4-3-2-1 on the verses, and he was just doing DMX verse. And he was playing DMX verse, so I had to listen real quick. Sorry about that. Sorry, very more interested to talk about Monday Night Raw. So I don't know. So maybe MVP might be saying, you know, they're downsizing because, you know, when Baron Corbin came and said he was Baron Corbin came in Monday night, he made it clear he was like he's not a part of the Hurt Business. And then but these two coming, you know, he's not going to stop them. He's just like, hey, they kick your ass, Joe. So, you know, it helps us. That helps us, but they're not with us.
Right. Backstage, Mace and T-Bar, they cut a promo. They say Sabretooth Tigers are extinct, just like Drew McIntyre will be when they are done with him. After the break, McIntyre demands Adam Pearce give him Mace and T-Bar tonight. Adam Pearce tells him to get a partner, but Drew says he doesn't need one. He's going to fight them no matter what. Now that leads into the Viking Raiders versus Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. Everything breaks down after a cannonball against the barricade to Shelton Benjamin. Then we hit the Viking Experience, a.k.a. the Viking Express, to Cedric Alexander for the win. Not much to see here. It's a 5-minute match.
We had that match last week. Go move on.
I guess they wanted to make it more dominant.
We had this match last week. Move on. We saw the match last week. It wasn't no, they had no ring rust. They was good. And they ran it back this week. And I'm looking like, yo, we saw this match last week. It don't make no sense.
Randy Orton now talks about how the Fiend is gone for good. When here comes Matt Riddle on his scooter. He talks about how neither of them have a title any longer, so they can team up and have matching scooters. Orton rolls his eyes and just walks away.
So if you watch SmackDown last week, this match was advertised as Randy Orton versus Braun Strowman. And Braun Strowman was psyched for this match. He was ready. First time ever. So a certain chairman of the WWE was running on CPT and Mr. Creative's meeting, which caused, you know, the whole changes to Raw before the show airs. And so he nicked some matches, and guess what match was on the cutting room floor? Braun and Randy.
That's unfortunate.
So Vince McMahon doing Vince McMahon things.
As always. How are you going to be late to your own production meeting, though, but you going to fire Charlie for being late?
Well, Charlie was like, listen. Charlie was like, she had already put her,
2 weeks in. Yeah. I get it.
Charlie was like, listen, I'm getting that Walt Disney money. See you, Vince. It was nice working for you. she did an interview this week and was asking how was it that she was working for WWE. She said it was surreal and everything, you know, because of how the atmosphere was backstage and everything and all the stuff that was going on. So, yeah, so she was cool with that. I'm still kind of mad we didn't get a whole fruition with the her and Andrew Garza storyline. That was really building up. That was really intriguing seeing how she was all bubbling and blushing, you know, seeing him and everything, and how Zelina was like, focus.
So Randy Orton, after that little encounter with Matt Riddle, he goes up to Adam Pearce and he's like, yo, can I fight him tonight? Adam Pearce says he'll see what he can do. We get a recap of Charlotte returning last week. Then Charlotte cuts another entering promo. She says she is tired of the lack of respect from the women's locker room. WrestleMania was taken away from her, and that just wasn't fair. You got to be fair to Flair. This isn't fair to Flair. That's what they should have had somebody doing, the old Bobby Heenan. She says she can be Asuka and Rhea Ripley on the same night. So tonight, Asuka is getting taken out as Ripley sees what Charlotte can do. Asuka and Rhea Ripley come out, with the latter being willing to take Charlotte up on her offer, even though Asuka is going to beat her tonight. Asuka goes to say something, but Charlotte cuts her off and condescendingly reminds her of their WrestleMania match. Then Asuka finally just gets fed up and says she's going to beat Charlotte Flair tonight, bitch.
I said, well, damn. I said, Charlotte understood that
sentence. Yeah, because she's like, stop talking. I can't understand you. She was doing the, you know.
And Rhea being petty, talking about something. Who taught Asuka that new
word? Yeah, that was a segment there. It's kind of cringy, though, with Charlotte doing that stop talking to the person who
right.
that strong with English.
Right, exactly. I was thinking just that. I was like, ooh, she doing that. Like, I said, Charlotte, don't do that. Yeah. I didn't say you try to heal, but don't do that.
Right. Yeah, it's not a good visual at this particular point in time. Sheamus comes in to see Adam Pearce, who talks about the history of the United States title. We hear about John Cena's U.S. title open challenges, and Sheamus is like, well, that was on him. That ain't me. I don't necessarily have to go out here and do that. But Adam Pearce is like, come on, man, you need to be your fighting champion. So Sheamus is like, okay, yeah, we'll have somebody come out and I'll do a challenge. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Lana and Naomi. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke come out in the middle of this match to recap what happened last week in the middle of the match, all on the TitanTron. So they're like, hey, we got a clip for you, Nia. And they show, you know, when she was laughing at Mandy, falling down the ramp, and Mandy smacked her. Then they was like, oh, hold on, we got another clip for you, where they show Dana Brooke and Mandy pushing Nia down. They was like, oh, well, we're not done. We got a third clip for you, where they show Nia slipping, getting back on the ring. So Nia's mad, and she jumps off of the apron to go chase after them up the ramp. Well, that leaves Shayna Baszler all by herself. She gets hit with a double X-Factor from Naomi and Lana, and they get the win over Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax.
Okay, so is it me, or is Mandy and Dana being booked as heels here right now, these past 2 weeks? They doing some heel stuff. They doing some heel tactics. You know, they backed out the match last week, going up the ramp, and then they doing coming out there and showing the replay in the middle of the match, causing Nia to come up, and that causes Shayna to get beat in the ring. That's some heel shit. So they being booked as heels. Don't sit there and try to swing it. That's some heel shit. You go back and watch some old WWE clips, and you've seen heels doing that. You probably go back and watch some old WCW, NWA. Well, you probably go watch some old school stuff, and you see the distractions from the heels that cause the face to lose. That's what they're doing. They being booked as heels. Not say that they're actually heels, but the booking they being, it's like heel booking on faces.
Right. I will say this. Mandy Rose has been working out, boy. You see how big her arms are? Good gracious.
So you really want Sexy Muscle Friends to be a thing?
Sexy Muscle Friends are a thing.
No, it's not. Only y'all and a few couple of y'all and the thing call them Sexy Muscle Friends. It's not stuck. They call them, the commentary say Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. They not called Sexy Muscle Friends. So that's only a few of y'all that's hooked on that name, and I don't know why.
Well, I like it. It fits them perfectly. That's why.
It does not.
They sexy, they got muscles, and they're friends. It's self-explanatory.
You know, that's why Sonya Deville had to cut her loose.
Sonya Deville was a little, she had a little edge to her this week on SmackDown.
Leave me and Jade's fave alone.
I don't think she's going to wrestle no more. I think she
could be like, ha-ha, backstage, bro, I got power. Look what I'm about to do.
Right.
I got to take no bumps. Let me be in the heel role.
Right.
Let me be the Dario Cuervo that smack that WWE deserves.
We have a interview with Bad Bunny. It looks like this was taken like after WrestleMania.
It was with
Damian Priest. He talks about how awesome WrestleMania was. He says it meant a lot to him, and he was very impressed with Damian Priest. Speaking of Damian Priest, he says he was impressed by Bad Bunny, and we hear about how much respect Bad Bunny received from everyone in the back. And then we get the official word that Bad Bunny's tour is officially sold out.
Oh, we knew that over the weekend.
Yeah, man. Good for Bad Bunny and WWE.
look at Vince trying to squeeze every little bit of coinage out of that appearance.
Hey, man. Hey, I gotta get all this out of you, homie.
So Damian Priest did an interview, and so Damian Priest was like, hey, so basically they were doing through the training and everything. And so Damian Priest showed Bad Bunny the Canadian Destroyer. So it was the day before WrestleMania. So Bad Bunny was like, you mean to tell me it's the day before WrestleMania? You want me to do that? He says, I really like you to try. So they ran through it a couple of times, and he got it real quickly. So he learned to do the Bunny Destroyer the day before WrestleMania.
Bad Bunny is a fan, and I think that anybody who grows up as a fan of wrestling, they may not know how to execute the moves, but at least they have an idea of what it's supposed to look like, and I think that helps them catch on to things a lot sooner than someone who may have been, you know, not a lifelong fan. Because, you know, I don't get me wrong here, he may be an awesome soccer player, but Bad Bunny doesn't look like he has, you know, that awesome athleticism just jumping off the page, right? So, you know, there had to be a lot of technique that he had to learn. And for him to be able to do that in a day and pick up that move up, kudos to him. Just shows how much, you know, attention he paid and how dedicated he was to actually doing the thing and doing it the right way.
Right.
Miz TV, he's out here with Maurice again because, you know, the new season of Miz and Mrs. is appearing, debuting this week. So Miz is taking credit for Bad Bunny's tour being sold out. Miz and Maurice talk about how much they love each other, and this is their big celebration. They kiss, and it's time for a champagne toast. Miz hypes up his WWE 24 special on Sunday, and then here comes Damian Priest to interrupt. Priest says Maurice helped Miz cheat to win last week, so Priest says a man shouldn't be happy with that kind of a win. Priest accuses him of not having much to show in his underwear, so he challenges him to a match. The funny thing is, Maurice accepts the match, though. Miz isn't exactly pleased. That's what Priest wanted, so he has some champagne, which he then calls trash.
He down there. He said, oh, that's trash. And then Maurice got mad and threw the drink in his face and tried to hurry him right out the ring.
I'm pretty sure, I know she didn't watch it, but if we would have had the brand name of the bottle, I'm pretty sure Ms. Jade to the Max would have been able to tell us before he drank it whether it was trash or not.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Matt Riddle comes up to the New Day in the back and suggests some changes to their gear. The solution, silver dollar pancakes. Riddle leaves and Kofi Kingston asks if Xavier Woods understood anything Riddle just said. See, that's why I don't be wanting to recap these shits, man. Because that is, that's nothing to the show. Nothing.
Okay. Okay. I'll bring it up. If you don't want to recap it, then that's fine. I mean, we always try listeners to recap
the show. Yes, I know.
You may not like the skits and things in the back, but
I know. Here, Elias and Jackson Riker are out for the performance, but it gets interrupted again. Last week, it was Xavier Woods with Francesca. This week, it's Xavier Woods on the bass. So, Xavier Guitar Woods this week showed up for Kofi Kingston versus Elias. There was this one funny part, though, where he was playing the Stone Cold theme music on the bass. So that was really funny. He distracted Elias. But Elias, he hits a clothesline, but it gets countered. Tries for a clothesline, but he gets countered into a rather sloppy SOS. I don't know what they were trying to do. They just didn't have their timing together. Elias goes up top, but he gets stopped. Kofi tries for a super hurricanrana off the top, but Elias blocks it. And then he follows that up with the big Macho Man elbow drop. And Elias got the win over Kofi Kingston.
Yeah. Tonight's theme was upsets.
This wasn't the smoothest effort by either of these men, but you know, it was effective with Elias getting a win, and we'll see where this takes him moving forward. Now it's time for Alexa's Playground with Alexa Bliss. She's explaining.
Real quick. Has AJ almost been on Raw after since winning the titles?
They have not, sir. Sounds one like somebody might be in quarantine.
You're right. That's what I'm about to say. One of them might be in quarantine. Okay.
There's probably a whole bunch of people that's in quarantine because we ain't seen.
It was shorthanded. Yeah. So
because we haven't seen quite a few people on Raw since WrestleMania.
Maybe somebody said with injuries or something like that, but they were saying some people were for like COVID precautions, stuff like. Okay, I just
want
to make sure I wasn't
bothered. No, man, because yeah, it's been very conspicuous that they didn't come out there and gloat or at least have like a insert video package of them, you know, being the champions and gloating. But yeah, no, they haven't done that yet. They're probably trying to find some extenders to put on the belt, so Almost might be able to put it around his waist, maybe, possibly. You got nothing. It's time for Alexa's Playground with Alexa Bliss. She's explaining that Lily has been around for a very long time. We see some photoshopped pictures of Lily with Alexa Bliss when she was a child. Bliss talks about shoving a kid at the playground down so she could eat her ice cream. When asked, she said Lily made her do it. Lily will let you know if she doesn't like something. She says that she didn't like him, and she definitely doesn't like the women's roster of the women's division. So she puts the whole roster on notice.
Of him and Red Bull. Yeah. Even that one is hanging and watching and recapping the show.
What do you think about it? Alexa Bliss and Lily here.
Oh boy. Hold up. They doing how high now, so they doing how high. So I hope this leads somewhere because I'm just hoping this leads somewhere. I said it three times that I really don't have nothing. I just hope it leads somewhere. That's number four.
Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke said they are not the bullies. Yes, Mandy slipped at WrestleMania, but it was Nia Jax and Shayna who kept watching it over and over. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler come in to chase them off, but Shayna Baszler yells at Nia Jax for costing them the match. Baszler tells Nia to get better or else. Nia Jax is like, or else what? And then Angel Garza comes in. I don't know what he said, but whatever it was encouraging to Nia.
Again, they being man and damn brain fart. Mandy and Dana Brooke. They being booked as heels here. They ran off when Shayna and Nia showed up. That's some heel shit.
That's true.
That's the heel shit. That's what we're dealing with.
Now it's time for the handicap match. Drew McIntyre versus Mace and T-Bar. Hold on. I'm watching Lana and Naomi do their TikTok thing on Instagram. Naomi and this.
That's more interesting to cover this show.
Naomi and all this glitter she got on. Good Lord. Okay. McIntyre hits T-Bar with the spine buster for a two count. The glass low kiss slows down T-Bar. Mace's distraction leads to a double teaming, which is basically causes for a disqualification because they were kicking too much ass. So they're beating down Drew McIntyre, and that's when Braun Strowman's music hits. So Braun comes down, clears the ring, and of course you know what that's going to lead to, right?
Tag team match.
So now we have Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre versus T-Bar and Mace. There's a jumping neck breaker, and there goes Mace's mask. McIntyre hits him in the face with the mask. That causes a disqualification. After the match, Strowman rips off T-Bar's mask and knocks him to the outside as well. So now both members of Retribution are no longer with their masks as last week, Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre were talking about how, you know, they were going to go one-on-one against each other and fight for that title shot. And now they are teammates this week. So booking is so strange. Now we have Miz versus Damian Priest.
Can always back up the savior of misbehavior.
Again.
And speaking of misbehavior, he's distracting Damian Priest.
Are you kidding me? Maurice had to get involved one more time, second week in a row.
Called a ride or die, Saxton. You should find you one.
Riding cheap, too.
Well, the Miz is inspired by Maurice.
Inspired and also helped by Maurice, assisted by Maurice.
Aided and abetted.
Miz better watch the count here. The official up to six.
Relax, Saxton. Miz knows exactly what he's doing. We're talking about a true veteran of the game, a guy who once headlined WrestleMania. Now all the way from the top. Oh!
What
What a shot delivered by The Miz. And some more blows.
Left hands over and over again. Priest doing his best to cover up, but to no avail.
Oh. And here comes Damian Priest.
Whoa. Face first goes The Miz. Damian Priest poised to earn another victory over the A-lister.
He is some kind of fired up.
Big dive.
Making sure Maurice doesn't get involved.
Oh. Tries to suplex. Instead, The Miz foils him.
Whoa.
Very impressive agility by the big man.
What athleticism.
Man, look at the determination in the eyes of Damian Priest.
What time is it? Game time. Damian Priest is fired up.
Priest does not want to let this opportunity to defeat The Miz pass him by.
Miz sensed the big choke slam coming, got out of harm's way to the best of his ability, at least for the moment.
Oh, no.
Two.
He's begging. Oh, oh, oh. You will find no mercy from...
We're not doing this again.
Get down off the
ring. No.
I don't know.
Behind.
What a cover now.
Like deja vu. But this time it did not work. This time the plan did not work for The Miz.
Oh, the bell ringer.
Right at the same time. Oh, what a shot.
Hit the lights.
Damian Priest. That could be lights out. And it is.
Here's your winner, Damian Priest.
Big time win for Damian Priest in singles action.
So let's break this thing down. Maurice volunteered The Miz for a match that he clearly don't want to be a part of. Then Maurice tried to assist The Miz in victory and failed miserably. And that's why Damian Priest is your winner.
Yeah. So Damian Priest beat Miz. Aside from last week. Aside from last week when Maurice kind of jumped on the lake when she was supposed to be grabbing the pants legs. But
right.
The time was off. But hey, Damian Priest got the win, so good for him. But hold on.
Yes, sir.
Hold on. I know. I hope Morrison ain't in quarantine because he wasn't there last week.
He was there last week. He wasn't there this week.
He wasn't there this week.
Yeah. Maybe. You never know, man. You know, it ain't over. It ain't over.
It ain't over till it's over.
Since you're feeling the versus thing, right?
No, this is Lenny Kravitz. I was talking about Lenny Kravitz when you said it ain't over. So I was just doing a play on that.
Now it's time for Sheamus and the open challenge for the United States title. We have a challenger. It is Miss DiDiGiorné's favorite, Humberto Carrillo. Sheamus jumps Carrillo before the bell and throws him to the outside. Graves thinks Sheamus might be mad about the new European Super League. He whips Carrillo into the barricade and forearms him in the chest. Back in the ring, the bro kick drops Carrillo, so Sheamus can say that Carrillo isn't in his league. And we never had a match. The bell never rang to officially start the match. So Humberto Carrillo took an ass whooping for nothing. Official match.
Oh my goodness. He's saying who came down there to don't answer the challenge. He said, get the fuck out of here.
You wasn't feeling Humberto?
Listen, that ass whooping was tame compared to what we saw later on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
We ain't gonna spoil it though, but I mean, y'all saw it, but this when Sheamus did to Humberto was tame.
Asuka versus Charlotte. This is our main event of the evening. Rhea Ripley comes out to ringside to watch the match. Charlotte has been working on Asuka's leg, so she takes out her bad leg. The figure eight is applied, but Rhea Ripley takes Charlotte's arms out from underneath her when she went to go do the bridge. So that allowed Asuka to kick Charlotte in the arm and roll her up in the crucifix for the pinfall. So Asuka gets the win over Charlotte Flair in the main event. After the match, Charlotte yells at the referee and then beats him down, hitting him with forearms and all kinds of stuff. She continues her beatdown even after the referees come out to yell at her. She finally stops the beatdown, and that is how your Monday Night Raw ended.
So she beat that ref like he stole something.
Right. Yeah, so that was Monday Night Raw. Rhea Ripley getting a little bit of payback for last week with Charlotte Flair interrupting their match. And showing her that, you know, she too can play that game if need be. So,
but I guess storyline wise, Charlotte was suspended and fined for kicking that ref's ass.
Yeah, Adam Pearce made that announcement on Raw Talk. I didn't hear what exactly the fine and this is how long the length of the fine was going to be, but
hold on. Hold on, because I was like, oh, I was like, what the hell? How you mean? Oh, what the hell? I said, oh, I was like, suspended. What the hell? I think it was like 100. I think it was 100,000 or something like that. She got, oh, yeah, here you go. Come on, God damn it, pull up. She was suspended indefinitely and fined $100,000 for unprofessional contact.
Suspended indefinitely? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm about to go and stick it. Oh, Method Man was just doing Method Man. Yeah. So I was
we can hear it. We can hear it. Hey, you get off my blah. You don't know me and you don't know my style. Yes.
Yeah, that's more entertaining than covering this show. But yeah, Charlotte suspended indefinitely and fined $100,000. That's probably couch change to her.
Yeah, at this point in her career. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a little bit of
She probably wrote that check before she left the building. Like, here you go. I love my face.
Yeah, so that was Monday Night Raw, y'all. I mean, it wasn't... It wasn't good at all. Actually, the title of this show is going to be Long and Boring, because that's how I felt about this show. I am just not enthused about the direction of creative. I'm not enthused about the direction of star power. Just nothing right now on Raw. I got nothing positive to say.
Man, we're about to lock creative in the room and say, tell the wrestlers, go out there and do what y'all do.
Mm-hmm.
If it's like, what the hell happened? We're like, we don't know. We're going to hostile takeover.
Right. All right. I don't know, man. Hopefully they can get their creative narrowed down and figure some things out. Because like my personal thought would be, I would go back to getting NXT guys who haven't been on NXT yet, who haven't debuted, who've been working at Performance Center, who need, who just need experience, need mat time. Have them come out here Monday Night Raw, get beat up by whomever for the next 6 weeks, whatever amount of time we got until Backlash, right? We don't need to see Drew McIntyre messing around with T-Bar and Mace and none of them. We don't need to see, none of that. Get to some true jobbers, some people who are just here to get beat up and let the guys talk and get a whole bunch of wins. So maybe I can care about somebody by the time we get to this next pay-per-view. But if they keep going the way that they're going, nothing on this Raw side of this pay-per-view is going to be exciting to me. It's all going to be about what SmackDown provides.
So basically, you want Raw to become AEW Dark?
Yeah, close. Give me something with a little bit more intrigue to it, man. Because, I mean, these quote-unquote superstar versus superstar matches are getting played out because ain't nobody interested.
Bobby Lashley wasn't on the show either.
No, he was not. But yeah, man, I'm just not feeling the presentation right now. I'm definitely all into what they're doing on SmackDown, though. SmackDown has got me each and every week locked and loaded. Can't wait. Goes off. I'm looking forward to next week. So, good job, Paul Heyman. Good job, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. What else? What I want to say? So Keith Lee gave another update, and he keeps saying he's telling everyone not to worry, and it's like he tells us not to worry, but we don't know what's. It's like we wrestler fans, so we don't see on TV for a while. We want to know. We gonna be concerned like something's going on. He can't just tell fans not to worry and just say everything's gonna be fine. No, we don't see nobody on TV. We want to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, you're not providing no, updates onto what is going on with you. Not saying like, hey, I'm hurt, I'm injured, I'm this, I'm that. So, yeah, so it does lend to people having a lot of speculation about what's going on with him exactly. Is it a creative move? Is this an injury move? Is this a we just don't have anything for you move?
Might be something serious that happened, and then he just couldn't get cleared. So, yeah, they bought DJ Cool for the Versus. God damn, they bring everybody out.
Hey man, it's red.
RZA and Inspector Deck came out. I told you they came out earlier. So, and Keith Murray did too. So they brought out some folks.
Yeah.
So he said that. So let me ask you this real quick. Since we got a little probably some time left, let me get this real quick. I might get this out earlier, but so somebody had tweeted. So Ric Flair was at the Jake Paul fight.
Mm-hmm.
And he was officiating the slap, whatever you want to call it, that was going on in backstage. So somebody tweeted that this could have been Hulk Hogan, because everybody loves Ric Flair. So then somebody came behind him and said Ric Flair is not a clean OG. And then somebody else after that posted the video of Teddy Long doing a shoot interview saying that Ric Flair called him the N-word and that he was trying to hold him down. When Undertaker was in WCW and he had issues with Ole Anderson and Teddy had issues with Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, folks was like, and then a young lady was like, man, ain't none of them problematic. And I was like, there's a few of them who aren't problematic, who would think it's problematic. But yeah, they were trying to say Hogan could be as widely loved as Flair because Ric Flair had did some video with Snoop and Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm.
He was shooting video back then with them and everything. And I said, Ric Flair gonna go somewhere for a check. Ric Flair gonna get a check for a cameo appearance. He will.
Man, Ric Flair on commercials now? He got commercials.
Yeah. He doing commercials.
Yeah, man.
He getting paper.
Yeah, he definitely out here trying to get his monies up.
Definitely.
I mean, you can't be mad for him, man. I mean, you got to, capitalize on this as much as you can because, how much longer is Ric Flair going to be able to do this in the spotlight that he's, being able to do it in right now. So I'm not mad at it.
Also, one more thing before we go. They were talking about who John Cena should face when he's on the verge of retirement. And Karrion Kross came up. So Karrion Kross said,
what?
So you wouldn't want to see Karrion Kross and John Cena wrestle?
Hell no. I don't even want to see Karrion Kross as NXT champion, let alone wrestle John Cena. Hell no.
Just think of the interest that Scarlett would have.
That doesn't intrigue me because Scarlett ain't wrestling. I got nothing for Karrion Kross as the champion. This is going to be a stale, boring title experience. And hopefully it's not that long. I mean, I love Scarlett. I think she is the best part of that presentation. But, you know, she can only do so much. Dude has to go in there and wrestle. And he's in ring, he's fine. But he just doesn't have any excitement to him.
See, he's bland.
Yes, thank you. Very bland. And, I mean, we just coming off of Finn, who is anything but bland as a champion. Coming off of Keith Lee, who was anything but bland as a champion. So, you know, this is gonna be a change of pace
here. Adam Cole.
Yeah, Adam Cole. Yeah, so this is gonna be a big change of pace from that compared to what Karrion Kross is about to be giving out. So yeah, the women's division, thankfully, and the tag team division is very hot in NXT right now. They got that good storyline with Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis in the way. So they got some other things that can buoy a lackluster main event scene, championship, NXT championship scene for, you know, at least one or two takeovers before they have to maybe think about doing something. But you know, Karrion Kross is one of Triple H's boys, so I don't know how long, you know, he's going to stick with them as a champion. Maybe he'll try to give him a chance to kind of grow into being the champion, and over some time, you know, Karrion Kross can find his legs as the champion. But going into this initially, I just don't see it as being that fun or entertaining.
But hold on, why? So you mentioned that the way was entertaining. I showed you the clip last week of they were asking Indy where she was at, and they called the police. Mm-hmm. They called the police, and Candace walking back and forth. That was hilarious. But the other thing you mentioned on SmackDown, Matt, is when y'all was talking about NXT, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly cussing each other out. See what I mean? That's some good shit. We don't get that shit with the main roster. We don't get that good shit.
Yeah, that was really good
shit. I was rolling watching that clip. They just going out cussing each other out.
I know you've been kind of on and off of it, but did you happen to catch Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet on AEW last week?
I haven't watched any Dynamite in like a couple weeks now.
Yeah, that was one. It was worth it. It's worth it.
I heard some things about it, but that's y'all watch Dynamite. I'm like,
they
get some direction. Until they get some direction, you know, and it gets some prime like, you know, storylines going. Then I'll care. But other than that, I'm like, no, I'm good, man. I'm good.
They're setting up Britt Baker to get her in position, I think, for a title run. I think they're getting ready to, after we get through whatever this eventually is going to be with the Good Brothers and Kenny and the Young Bucks and all that, whatever that is leading to, I think it's going to eventually end up with Adam Page versus Kenny Omega. So hopefully they're getting ready to set that up real soon. They're going to have that blood and guts between the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle. So the Inner Circle have gone full babyface. So they're trying to set that up. What else? That's really it as far as like main title stuff goes. Young Bucks, they got the tag team titles. They just defeated Rey Fénix and Pac last week in a great match. They were the number one contender, so I don't know where the next title defense is going to come from them as far as the tag team titles go. But their next thing is Memorial Day, so they've got about a good strong month to get everything in gear for the next pay-per-view. So we should start seeing some things come into shape starting this week on AEW going towards the next big event. But it's been good, man. The last few weeks, they've really kind of found their stride again. Them and NXT have been just putting out really good shows the last 3 weeks or so. So it's no more Wednesday Night Wars, but NXT and AEW are both putting up.
All right, AEW's cracked a million.
Yeah, they don't have any competition. So, I mean, both shows should really crack a million. They don't have any competition. Everybody, if you watch wrestling and you like wrestling, now you don't have to divide it. You just, you know.
Right.
You can give each show its full attention, and so it should in turn it should benefit both ratings because they're not fighting for that back and forth effect of commercials or whatever. So however they take the rating, you might get caught in the commercial or something and not get counted. But so yeah, I expect to see the numbers just go up for both. Both programs, especially once people get more familiar with NXT being on Tuesday. I think it's going to take a little while for people to kind of get used to that. Oh, it is on Tuesday.
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
When they, when Samoa, they were showing, talking about future Samoa Joe feuds, they kept playing the clip from NXT when Samoa Joe was walking up to the ring for a championship match. And MJF was walking next to him, and he just shoved MJF against the wall. So MJF was like, "Stop showing the clip." Maybe I kept tagging MJF in the clip. He was like, "Stop tweeting that clip."
MJF is a great heel, man. He has got it to a level that very few at that young of an age, or very few in this day and age, have. He understands that he can get more mileage out of talking a blue streak than going out there and jumping off of the top rope and doing a double, triple Lindy. When he wrestles, he does very little as far as like actual, high flying shit. He does a lot of mat based offense and deliberate type offense. So, I mean, yeah, he's just got that heel persona down pat. I don't think it would ever work for him as a babyface. I don't think, and if it did, people wouldn't believe it long enough for it to actually be believable. They'd be like, oh, he's going to turn. So they would never fully invest into him.
Damn, it is the Case Solo from under a rock.
Oh, they doing, that's Red Man's.
Yeah, they doing it's like that. It's like that, my big brother.
Yeah. Oh man.
That was my joint off of Muddy Waters.
Yeah. That's why I'm surprised they didn't do Red Man versus Reggie Noble. That's the joint too. Oh man. But yes. If you guys, we were talking earlier, Red Man has three classics, so please go get familiar with There Is a Dark Side, Muddy Waters, and Doc's the Name. Yes, one of the very few artists in hip-hop that can claim three classics. Some people can claim one.
He doesn't like what, y'all? He did the very first album, What the Album?
Yeah, What the Album. It's, I like it, but it ain't a classic. That's not Get It Twisted. It's not like, Southern Player listed Funky Cadillac Music that should have got five, but the source was hate.
That album.
It wasn't like Reasonable Doubt, but the source was hating. It wasn't like Only Built for Cuban Links, but the source was hating. As they went back and at the end.
We hated on a lot of debut albums.
It was like 2010 or something I saw where they went back and was like, let's review some of these albums. And they was like, this should have got five. This should have got five. This should have got five. It was like, well, what the hell were y'all thinking at the time?
They brought EPMD out. God damn.
Oh, man. What they doing? The symphony? Jump on the mic and rock the symphony.
I think it's only going to Bozak. I think it's the
Bozak. Oh, the Bozak?
Oh. Oh, no. The headbanger. That's it. The headbanger. My shit, too. They go like, why are they talking hip hop? Sorry, y'all. It's 420. The Versus is more interesting than Monday Night Raw. That's gonna be the underlying title there. The versus matchup was more interesting than Monday Night Raw recap. But let's get out of here, dog.
Let you go ahead and get your last like 10, 15 minutes of that in and uninterrupted. Give us your shout outs and thank you.
Oh, cool. Shout out to you, y'all, and my main man, my homie. We do these shows every week. You know, I try to figure out how we're gonna do it. You know, after watching the show and we come through, we smash another one. Great talking to you every week. Shout out to my girl Simi. Shout out to Jay to the Max. Shout out to Anwar and Terry's Boy. Y'all, I was cracking up on them on the dark match. I was cracking up. Y'all hilarious. Y'all some hilarious folks. Shout out to D. Jonay. You know, great to hear from you as always. Classic. Greg, Sam, Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. And shout out to everybody who be in the hashtags with us. Roll Up Sunny, NNEC, KD, Miss V. Damn, it's a bunch of people. They rapping. Let me turn this down real quick. They rapping. So yeah, they you don't get rapping back here. You don't get rapping like that on the mainstream. No, but just shout out to everybody who in the hashtag with us. You know, I appreciate watching these shows with y'all and interacting with you all. It's always fun, man. Like we all connect through wrestling. People be sitting there looking like, why y'all watching wrestling? Why y'all be watching wrestling? Like wrestling is just everything. It connects us, it brings us, it's a lot of things rolled into one. And a lot of people be like, really? Like, you know, I told y'all last week, my friend said that, she said wrestling is like, it's predetermined or something like that. And it's like, she called it the American Idol. It's like the American Idol of sporting events. And I was like, get out of here. Talking about it's predetermined. And I was like, yeah, it's predetermined. But, you know, you get behind somebody and people, they get a run. You get your favorites and everything. It is what it is. You know. You sit back, you watch some things, you'll get accustomed to how things operate. Also, if y'all didn't watch Talking Smack, watch how Paul Heyman dropped a tweet today saying, if people don't believe in Bianca Belair, aren't paying attention. And he really, like, you know, boosted her up. He's really a big advocate for her. He's really an advocate for her. Like, you don't need an advocate. I mean, she really don't need one, but he's like advocating for her big time.
Oh yeah, he's all the black people that have flourished in WWE in the last year have been directly because of Paul Heyman. Don't get it twisted now.
We not.
Don't get it twisted. He had them all on Raw. They've said, can't be on Raw no more. You got to go to SmackDown. He said, no problem. Just let me get this person, this person, this person, this person.
And come on. Three Profits. Let me get Bianca.
Yeah.
No problem. I'll take them too.
Yeah. Shit. At this point.
I'm telling you, Paul Heyman has pull. He might not be creative no more, but he has pull. I see it. He has pull.
Yeah, at this point, he need to put in the work, try to get Cedric and Shelton Benjamin back over there. Do something with them. Put them in the tag team mix. Can you see Shelton Benjamin and Cedric as heels? Just give them his heels against the Street Profits in the title match? That would be a banger. Absolute banger. But, you know, I digress. I'd like to give a big shout out to Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese for another episode of the Rawcast. Give a big shout out to Mr. Jade to the Max, Miss Didi Jonay, Miss Simi, Mr. Anwar Starwin, Mr. Terry's Boy, Miss Madame Lizette, Miss V, Miss Jupiter Julep, Ananisi, Miss Laura Singh, as always. Just thank you to everybody out there who continues to listen and support the show. Please become a patron, y'all. Add some extra loot to the coffers of the WrestleCast. For a little less a dollar, you can listen to those extra, that extra content that Mo was talking about. You can also hear me and Miss Simi talk about AEW Dynamite each and every week. You know, continue to use the hashtag RawCast, NXTCast, DynamiteCast, SmackDown Matters each and every week to share your commentary with color. We greatly appreciate your thoughts and interacting with everyone each and every week. We would be remiss if we did not give a big shout out to George Floyd's family and George Floyd today on 420 as justice was served in his case, as former officer Derek Chauvin convicted on all three counts when it came to the murder trial. So I know there was a lot of anxiety and nervousness and anxiousness. And we finally got one to go our way, quote unquote, today. So
here's the thing. Don't sleep. We still got a lot of work to do. Right. I mean, this was like caught on camera and it was no denying it. So the jury, you know, they got it right. I was embracing, waiting for the worst, but you know, they, you know, came and did the right thing. So it's still in the midst of this trial, we still had things that was going on, you know. The young man, 20-year-old Dante, I mean, air freshness in the rear view, you pull him over. Come on, man. I want to get right now, but
yeah.
Come on, man. Talking about some taser. And she done told me she didn't know the difference between a taser and her gun. Come on now. Young man, 20 years old. 20 years old. Come on. Don't want to say he's a baby, but he's a young man. He's not even in the prime of his life yet. And his life is like stolen from him. Come on now.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, it's like, hey, ever since 1992, when for the first time ever, we saw something on camera like this.
On camera.
And it was like, okay, well, this should be fairly easy. And then those guys got away. Which caused the LA riots and everything. You know, it's been a uphill struggle because even with the video evidence, people still got off. Even with audio evidence, people still got off. So, you know, it's been a long time coming for this type of justice. And, you know, I'm just happy for once we can say that, you know, it finally came down on the right side for us as far as black people, black men, and, you know, having a one time where we can say, hey, it wasn't for naught. So big ups to the jurors and everybody in Minnesota and Minneapolis for, you know, all the protesting and everybody around the world who was just basically like, yo, this is just, you know, this is not suitable anymore.
Right now, I mean, I know if you watch that trial, it's exhausting. I didn't even want to watch it, but the stuff that they caught, I was like, you know, it just had me like got under my skin and I just couldn't really it really just made me just think about, you know, what it could happen to any of us, you know. And we just try to, you know, we try to live our lives. You know, they always say, you know, pull up your bootstraps and go to work and do stuff like that and everything. And it's just things like this happen. Well, right now they're doing Triumph. So Kevin Dolan was doing both verses with Ghost and Ray, and now he up here with Meth and
Ray. Hey man, you gotta get it in how you can. Did they get paid for that? They're getting paid for this now, right?
Well, the artist is taking part of it. They get equity in Trilla, who brought the
network Triller. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, they get equity. I mean, if they get a paycheck, I don't know.
They're becoming the zone of streaming shit, ain't they?
Yeah, because a lot of streams have been increasing.
Mm-hmm. They put on that fight that you know, the thing with Logan Paul and stuff, that was through them over the weekend. So yeah.
It's like people say the Apple shouldn't have let it go, but they did like the 10 on Apple, but they should like Apple should have like came with the bag or something like that. But
well, look here, man, it ain't like Apple don't still got the bag. They can come back around.
Yeah, but I don't know how this is gonna play out now. But they stayed and sold it to Trilla, but Trilla made put Swiss and Timberland on the board of directors or whatever. So it's kind of an even exchange, so to speak. And they said all the artists who took part in the past ones, they get equity in versus going forward.
Okay.
Even Teddy Riley and his
Janky.
He looking mad confused. Oh man, that was a year ago, and that was good.
Yeah, man. I mean, that was kind of like whoever first came up with that idea of like, you know what, let's just get on here and let's just compare hits versus hits and let's just have some fun. I'm pretty sure they never envisioned that it would turn into a whole industry and a weekly series of, you know, the best of the best, you know, and the diversity of the artists that they've kind of showcased has been pretty cool too. They've done your hip hop, they've done your old school, they've done, you know,
they had the women was going crazy for Raw and Isley, so
yeah. We need to like, if they can, I know she doesn't have enough songs to actually do this for a whole like 2 hours or whatever, but they need to see if they can get Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown to do one.
Oh God, they get Kim and Foxy to do this. And try to get Kim and Trina to do one, but they get Kim and Foxy.
Yeah, because Trina's got more of the catalog to kind of keep up with.
Trina got catalog, but you know.
Yeah, but Foxy Brown.
No, I'm saying that people are like, what? Were they still talking? I'm sorry. This verse is bad the way that everything else is interesting than Monday Night Raw. Yeah. Keep saying that.
So we're gonna wrap it up at
this
point.
They brought Rockwilder out. They doing the Rockwilder. You remember the Rockwilder?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. This has been the Rawcast.
Talking wrestling, broadcast, and they just talking hip hop and other stuff going on.
Yeah, this is like love your people,
hug up on your peoples. If you got small children, hug them, tell them that they matter, that you love them, everything. We gotta love each other more, and we need, and with this pandemic going on, we need each other more than ever. I mean, still stay 6 feet apart. Don't come around me, because I'm gonna tell you get the fuck away from me. No, but seriously, love each other going forward, and we'll be back next week with another episode of the Rawcast.
Stay tuned for the parting promo.
Gentlemen, a very interesting night for you tonight here at Monday Night Raw. But congratulations, you defeated Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre, two former champions. What does that do for you?
What does that do for us? That does everything for us. The people want to know who we are, what we're about, where we're going, what we're going to do. Perfect example. What do you think?
What does it do for us?
We did that. We did that. And as far as I'm concerned, Drew McIntyre, you did me a favor. By slapping me across the face with that mask, you revealed to the world exactly what we are. Two titans that will tower over this entire division, over this entire universe. We did that.